Hi, friends. Welcome in on a Monday.
Want to enlighten everybody while you're giggling?
It's these damn headphones. It's so loud.
It's because Sprague is freaking deaf.
He's got to be.
There's two options at play. He has absolutely no hearing. He's cooked, or his headphones suck.
Well, Swag yells at him a lot. So.
It's one of those two things.
Maybe it's a headphone thing.
Maybe his headphones are just god awful.
Because they look nice
when you plug them in. Your headphones are like on the table. It's louder than our monitor that we have under the table that we can hear. And it's like, oh my god,
Wait, the monitor's under the table.
Yeah,
I thought it was in the ceiling.
No.
The files are in the computer.
Where in the ceiling would it be?
I don't know. Anywhere. There's lights in the ceiling.
Where in the ceiling would the speakers be?
I don't know. Like over there.
Is there a single cutout anywhere?
There's little holes throughout the whole thing.
Okay. Where the lights are there cutouts?
Yes.
Okay. Where the AC vent is there a cutout?
Dang, I just stared at a light too.
You stared at a mildly yellow light?
And I feel blind.
It's not even bright.
I know. That was a bad move.
God.
Now I can't see anything.
But yeah, the speakers are under the table, dude.
The files are in the computer. Again, I asked the same question. We're off to a rip-roaring start
here
today.
There you go.
Happy Monday.
The speakers are under the table? Yeah.
Dude, there's a lot about this place that I just don't know, and I probably should keep it all to myself.
Mm.
I don't know if sharing it is a good idea. You ever have those moments?
Yeah, oh, God,
something
yeah.
comes out, and you're like, hmm. Preschool yells at me all the time. She's like, that's an inside thought, Patrick.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I have those all the time. I remember I told you a couple weeks ago, like, I just run into door frames, and you were like, I just wouldn't tell people
Yeah,
that.
I wouldn't tell people that.
I'm just like, it happens. It happened. I went golfing on Friday, and I literally ran into the door as I was walking out, and I was at the turn playing 18, and they like looked at me like, you okay? It was this group I was playing with. I'm like, yeah, it happens all the time. They had this very like puzzled look. I'm like, you run into door frames all the time? I'm like, yeah, no, I do.
Just think about the things that we say out loud that you probably should keep to yourself. Imagine the things that we do keep to ourselves.
Oh, yeah, no,
that
no,
is
no,
a
no,
dark,
no.
dark place.
Yeah, like, I am a classic oversharer.
You don't say.
And here's the thing. People think like, oh, you make things really awkward. I'm like, oh no, you have no idea. The things that I say off air are way more like, oh, I want to crawl up the back of my chair. Like, I do get some joy out of making people go,
I'm aware. You do it to me 5 times a week.
And I only hit you with the mild versions of it.
Is this on air or off air?
On air.
Okay, because off air, I definitely want to die.
Yeah, no, it's 100%. And the more, like, it is a drug. Like, the more you give me that reaction, the more I'm going to go, found the vein, let's go.
You're the worst.
I am.
I know.
I am.
At least you appreciate it, though.
Yeah.
See, I don't appreciate it, and I need to learn how to appreciate it better.
Do you think I do it to be a jerk?
No.
I do it because it always turns into a laugh. That's what I go for.
With friends like these, who needs enemies?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, I don't ever make it like personal. It's never nasty. I don't like doing that. But like awkward and uncomfortable. Yeah, I like doing that.
I find myself a pretty positive person, and I try to be nice to humans, even humans that I don't like. As we always say, if I don't like you, I probably just won't talk to you.
Yeah.
If you want me to be mean to you, it's not gonna go well.
Yeah, I say you don't.
It's not gonna be cool. Yeah,
no. When I flip the switch to like I'm going down that lane, then I'm.
Yeah, sometimes
it's usually scorched earth.
Sometimes my kids look at me and they're like, "Are you mad at me?" And it's like, "Yo, if I'm mad at you,
you'll know.
You ain't asking that question."
there's never a you know what we were talking about, like the whole idea of if you like somebody or not. Like, mm-hmm. if I don't like you, you'll know.
If I'm mad at you, you will know.
Yeah.
You will know. There is no ifs, ands, or
buts. No, there's no like, I'm not sure what he's thinking. No,
I know.
No, you'll know.
I think it's a really positive attribute for me, if I can pump my own horn here for a minute.
There you go.
I think it's a really good part about me.
Just don't do that on camera.
It makes me a really rough manager, though.
Mm.
Because it's like, I'm positive all the time, and then when I gotta come down on you, the hammer comes, and it's like, whoa, dude, it's not cool, man. It's like, well, you done messed up. And now I'm going to tell
you
about it. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Do anything fun this weekend?
Heavy family this weekend. Mm. I had to go to a party for my wife.
Of which there was no TV present.
Which
that doesn't sound like a party. That sounds like hell.
Yeah. And then I went to my nephew's birthday party at Charles Entertainment Cheese's place. Mm.
Did he get arrested?
He did not. Although the Charles Entertainment himself, shorter than me. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
How was that possible?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what.
That costume's taller than you.
I'll tell you what. I took a look around that place, and I'm looking at the employees there, and I was like, this is a whole new level of hell. Like, I can't believe you guys do this. Like, you choose to work here. You choose to work here. My also favorite part about being there was my stepdad.
Does it still have the smell?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know the smell.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
It's like the mustiness of, like, stanky, dirty kid, old food, and ball pit.
Yeah, there's no ball pit anymore.
No.
No, no.
Really?
Yeah. I think for obvious reasons. Reasons, plural.
I mean, you touch everything else.
Yeah, I guess so. No, I mean, like, they're worried kids are going to drown in it, and also kids pee in it.
Well, I mean...
That's gross.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
I love how you're just, yeah, whatever. About swimming around in someone else's piss.
Is there a slide, like, crawl-through thing?
Nope, it's all just games.
Oh, so they don't have any of the...
At least not at the one by Vancouver Mall.
Well, that's probably because, you know...
You about to take a shot at Vancouver for no reason? Because the Chuck E. Cheese is not built the way you want it to be built?
I'm just saying, you know, maybe the kids out there are special.
Okay.
Gotta make sure they don't drown in a ball pit.
In case you didn't remember, the pizza at Charles Entertainment Cheese is awful.
Oh God, yeah.
I would rather eat Totino's.
Oh, it's like frozen pizza is like eight steps up.
Frozen pizza is better.
It's cardboard and like I don't even. What would you call that cheese?
Plastic.
It's like it's not even like made in a lab. It's like where I genuinely wonder where
like,
they
I would rather from. Have a pizza with Kraft singles on
right?
it.
Right? It's like yeah. how did you manufacture this cheese?
Yeah, it's wild. Also, my stepdad and my two stepbrothers were watching the Seahawk game on tablets.
Oh, there you go.
At the table. And I made the joke, hey, you guys picked a great Sunday to plan this birthday party because the Seahawks are playing the Saints. You don't even have to watch the game. And they were like, why? And I was like, because the Saints are the worst team in football. And they were like, really? I didn't know. It's like, you guys watch football every week, don't you?
I think that's very...
How are you not aware of this?
I think that's Seattle sports fan.
I think so, too.
Seattle sports fan is very locked in their fan.
I think
like
so,
their
too.
Their fandom, completely and patently unaware of every other team in the league.
I was talking about it with Luke this morning, and like, Timbers fans in this town are that way. They're like, the Blazers. Oh, right, the Blazers. Yeah. They're here in town, right? They're in Portland, right? And you're like, the Portland Trailblazers? Mm-hmm. They sure are.
Yeah.
We're like, right.
Right. So it's a very singular focus, inward looking. There's no, it doesn't extend outwardly at all.
I know. If more, look, you know us. I would love to talk Timbers on this fine program we have. Timbers fans don't listen to sports talk radio.
No.
And if you do, you are a very small sliver of the Venn
diagram. Somebody texting in right now. I'm listening. It's like,
no, I know.
Guys,
somebody will.
We have the data.
You are less
unicorn.
Than 1%.
You're a unicorn.
Because some fans of some sports, and I don't want to call soccer niche, but maybe it is.
It is.
I mean, it's the number one sport in the world.
In this country, it's niche.
And it's wild that it's, you know, they don't watch NFL, they don't watch basketball, they don't watch baseball. It's European and MLS. Mm-hmm. Like, that's their sports world, which could be a really fun place to live. I sometimes wish that I lived in a place of one sport.
Just completely, like, patently unaware of everything
exactly,
else.
Exactly. That my brain was just like, I watch baseball. And when baseball's not on, I don't watch sports. When it's the off season, I don't watch sports. I think there'd be something romantic about it, though.
Sure, I guess.
Because, like, sports dominates our lives.
Yeah.
And imagine if it was just like, I was having this conversation with Sprague a little bit because he's getting into Premier League. And it was like, before I had this job and wasn't, you know, watching sports, like breathing it for work sort of thing, there'd be some Saturdays and Sundays that I wouldn't watch football because I'd watch Premier League and my day was over at 10 a.m.
You do not have that option.
No. It doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. But years ago, there'd be times where the last game on Sunday was on at 8:30 and that game's over at 10:30 and I'm done for the day with sports.
This is not a woe is me thing, because I love my job. Like, but that is the one thing, is the time commitment. That is the one thing, is that it's, you know, I've had this discussion, like, oh, your job must be awesome. I'm like, yeah, it is. I'm like, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I'm gonna play 18 tonight after the show. I have to make sure I've got my phone on me, clipped to the cart for Monday Night Football, and be like, all right, you know, in between each swing, I gotta kind of tap in and make sure we're keeping up on this, because it's Detroit and Baltimore. And again, this is not me complaining.
No,
it is just that is the this side of the war of our life. You have to spend, you know, 8 hours on Saturday and 8 hours on Sunday. Watching football.
I really wanted to watch the Apple Cup. And so I went to this party that didn't have a TV, so I recorded it and turned off my phone. And I couldn't turn my phone back on until I was done watching the Coug game, which was 10:30.
Who left you in peace, even though your phone was off?
You did, thank you, sir. I did,
even though I saw what happened.
Saturday, hey, three quarters was a pretty good game. We won't go into Husky hate, like... I don't deserve that today. But it's like, I got done with the game. It was 10:30, and I was like, man, I am so exhausted. Too bad I have to spend 2 more hours catching up on everything I've missed since 4 o'clock today. Mm. You know, I, like, had the USC game on. And, like, that game's just on while I'm, like, scrolling through my phone and looking at highlights.
Catching up
because I went dark for 4 hours.
Yeah.
I went dark for 4 hours.
Not a fun thing to do.
And had to figure it out.
Yep. It, like, because you have those, you've got kids and you've got commitments and stuff like that. You know, you have to figure some of that stuff out. And sometimes you're like, well, it looks like I'm up till midnight because I've got it's like cramming for a test on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, cause don't get me wrong. There are times when, you know, all of us, well, you know, me and Dusty, Dirt Sprague, you and I now, Isaac and Suk, like you just have to flat out say, no, I didn't get a chance to watch that game.
Yep. Yep.
You're like, I caught the highlights. But if you're going to talk about a game, like actually talk about it, you have to watch.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I went to my nephew's birthday party. You know, I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
There's no TVs there at Chuck E. Cheese. And
what?
Like, no.
No. You're kidding.
Nope. Not at all. That's why they had iPads.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. They had tablets.
Why the hell not?
Because you're here for Charles Entertainment.
That's still, that seems like, hey, let's keep mom and dad occupied.
Or mom least... and, the only way you can keep them occupied is they do serve alcohol.
Oh, do they now?
Yes, but okay. They scan your ID, it like goes in a little thing, and it registers. You can have 2 beers total and 1 per hour. Mm-hmm.
Yo.
I was in Fort Collins for a conference, and our hotel was right next to a Chuck E. Cheese. And me and my buddy Woody, we went to the Chuck E. Cheese one day.
Because it was there.
Yeah, we got stoned and went into the Chuck E. Cheese. And we're like, let's mess around on like a Thursday afternoon. Nobody's in there. Found out they have beer. We're like, we'll take a beer. They run our ID and they're like, can't have another beer for another hour. And it's 2 max. We're like, oh. So we played games for an hour, had our beer. And the second that hour went up, we ordered a second beer, slammed it, and walked out the door.
There you go. All right.
Dude, Charles Entertainment Cheese is a weird place.
Like $20 a beer? Like, how bad was it?
I didn't have any beer yesterday.
Okay.
At Charles Entertainment. So I'm not sure.
Mm.
It's probably restaurant prices. Yeah. They want you to spend it.
Well, yeah. It's the Eatertainment.
Yeah.
Ugh, man. No TV?
No TV.
You would think that
they had
like,
one TV on with like kid actors being like, are you ready to have fun?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
Do they
so then I started thinking about how bad. No animatronics. No, oh. It's all on a TV now.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Give me something to creep out the kids.
Nope.
What else is going to spur nightmares?
I think the adults that are there already do that.
Well, especially if they're adults there without kids.
You check in with a kid and that kid cannot leave without you. And you cannot leave with a kid that's not that kid.
That makes sense.
Totally.
Because I would imagine.
I'm glad they do that.
I would imagine that was pretty high on the old predatory list.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, I got the registration thing that you do, like the kid registration back when we were younger, of like what to do if sex stranger danger kind of deal. It was that Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Literally just unlocked a memory of like 8 years old. And I remember my parents being like, we're going to do this, but we're not really worried about it because the second somebody kidnaps you, they're going to bring your ass back.
Yeah. I feel so bad for whoever created Chuck E. Cheese because I'm sure they were like, let's make a cool place for kids. It'll be real fun. We'll have music. We'll have songs. It's like a competing against Disney sort of thing. This will be great. And then just turned into like a cesspool. That'd make me so sad if my invention became something terrible.
I mean, I think you could say that about
a lot of stuff.
Most things.
Like Mr. McDonald right now is not stoked at what McDonald's is now.
But I think he's okay with it where it is now.
Yeah.
Now. But okay. I think there was a period probably where he was.
Where he's like, yeah. Oakley Duckley, we got a show for you today. A lot of football to get to.
Especially back when, you know, they weren't being responsible and putting coffee as hot and food may cause you to get fat on it.
Yeah, I know. It's a good thing they let me know that.
They let me know. Yeah.
A lot to get to today. Baker takes things personally. We've got a couple dudes that are cooked. So we'll get to a lot of that. 3-0 versus 0-3 teams in the 11 o'clock hour. But we'll start with the game formerly known as the Civil War. Your takeaways, your thoughts. Next, 105.1 The Fan. 1020 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire day. The YouTube chat, youtube.com/1051TheFan. Shout out to all you cats over there. Let's see. What are we going to get to this hour? What are we going to do today? What would you say you do here? We'll check in.
Buckle up, Beavs fans.
We'll check in Death Valley here in about 10 minutes or so, and might have to put an APB out on those guys. But let's start with the Civil War. And I'm going to start positive. Beavs came out with a pulse. They came out with a little bit of drive in them. Decided they weren't going to roll over and die. Decided they were going to compete with Oregon for about 10 seconds.
For a drive.
Yeah. I was stoked, dude. It was 7-7. I was like, whoa, give me a game.
They came out feisty defensively. They came out. I think Murphy started 3 of 4. I want to say, I think he missed his next 11 throws. I think he ended up, at one point in time, was 3 of 14.
I saw one nice pass from him.
I mean, some of it was he was running for his life. The other part of it was guys couldn't hold on to the ball, and there was a couple of times where he just missed throws. But it was like the drive they scored on, he looked really good.
He looked really good. The offense was moving,
and then that was it.
I know, but you know, we've been really critical. Actually, I don't know. I don't think we've been critical. I think we've been really honest with the state of the Oregon State program. I am trying not to take shots because you can take those same shots at my program. But I was glad to see they came out with effort. It felt like a rivalry game.
Yeah, I mean, Hankerson ran the ball in the first drive and then could not after that.
Yeah, and I look, for all you Beaver fans out there, and we talked about it all last week, and you guys had your say, and you know, we interviewed multiple people on the conversation about it over the last few weeks. The fact that you came out with a pulse, I think, really shows a lot. It shows that maybe this team isn't as bad as we think. That they've had some bad hiccups in the year, but the fact that they came to play at least for, you know, maybe a quarter before things got really dicey, kudos.
I mean, did anything change?
No, absolutely nothing.
And that's kind of my point with this. The fact that nothing has changed and you had one drive offensively and defensively that was like,
just say it.
I always preface it with, I hate calling for people's jobs. Why does Trent Bray have a job today?
I have no idea.
Why does Trent Bray have a job
today? I have
today?
No idea. And I think it's because, I think a lot of it is because I read, I think December 1st.
Is the buyout.
His buyout drops. So they're but probably waiting. I know.
Then what are you, what's all the money for, dog?
I know.
Get the process started. Season's lost.
It ain't for Malik Murphy, I'll tell you that.
You know what I mean?
Rob other kids for Malik Murphy.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Why not get your, just save a couple million bucks?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
A couple million bucks or the future of your program? I don't know. I think maybe I'd go the future of the program.
I would too, 100%.
Get an interim in there and control, because if you're in that locker room right now, you know what's coming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, for sure.
So basically you're saying I'm not going to fire him because I don't want my guys to leave too early?
They're all going. Well, I don't know if they're all going. I don't know where they're going.
That's look, I don't want to disparage these kids. I don't either.
Reality's reality.
You're not Himothy.
No.
Be happy you're there.
Yeah.
Because whoever comes in next.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Zevi Eckhaus situation at Wazoo. Jimmy Rogers walks in and is like, I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play you. Then he got to the point where he plays him. But yeah, new regimes come in and like people not from the building, and it don't matter who you are.
No.
It don't matter. Yeah, look, I don't know.
Prime went too far with it when he got to Colorado. I'm bringing Louis. Now, he did bring a Heisman Trophy winner. So
he did
bring some Louis. He also brought some fake Gucci, but,
sure,
you know.
I think what kept him his job was the first quarter. Honestly, they came out and looked alive.
Yeah.
Now, after that, the game went as we planned, as we expected. I mean, I expected Oregon to cover the spread. We talked about it last week. Did we think Dan Lanning was going to pull up? I don't think he pulled up. I think that offense kind of struggled to get going a little bit.
No, they did.
But once they did, they did. I mean, this is the best Dante Moore we saw all year, I think.
Dante Moore had a couple throws in this game, but the one to me was the first throw of the year watching the Ducks where I went, ooh, like it caused me to do the sit up in the couch, sit up in the chair, kind of a, ooh, that's little half scramble out to the right side, plants his feet, and throws a absolute back shoulder missile to Malik Benson. And I went, it was one of those things where I'm in the house by myself watching with the dogs, and the dogs are half asleep on my lap, and I went, woo!
Like and the dogs wake up.
What the hell just happened? And I was like, sorry, guys, I got a little excited. Like, that was the first time I saw Dante Moore make a throw this season where I was like, okay, that's a, you know, go full, you know, Adam Sandler, that's some high-quality H2O. Like, that was a high-quality throw. That perked me up a little bit. And then Jordan Davison, I heard it on the radio call. I think it was Jerry who said it. Called him a touchdown vulture. And I was like,
well,
yeah,
he's a big boy down
there. He is the old touchdown vulture. And he's like, that's a big old boy. Like, that's having him to be able to lean on, super nice.
He could, in theory, have more touchdowns than yards. The way they use him.
I mean, yeah, but,
not really, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he's definitely one of those
guys.
He
could have 10 yards carrying the football and three touchdowns.
Yeah, you're just like, it's one of those things where if you're the number one running back and you've done all the work to get you down to the goal line, you're like, but I did all the work,
right?
You know,
in fantasy you would hate him.
Oh yeah,
it's like
when the Saints were putting Taysom Hill on a goal line packages, and you're like, no, Kamara.
yeah, you'd be so mad. I have Mekhi Hughes in my fantasy team. Why doesn't he get the touchdowns?
Yeah. But there's nothing that came out of this game.
No, I mean, if I went out sad. If I'm looking for something that came out of this game, is that starters played four quarters. We kind of thought they would to begin with, because this game was a dress rehearsal for Penn State. We thought it might be. We kind of, everyone alluded to it. And I think when it's 41-7 and starters are still in, it's very obvious why. That's my takeaway, is we're ready.
The one thing that kind of stood out to me for Oregon defensively, no sacks.
I mean, Malik can move.
I know, but it was like, it was a little surprising. Now they got a bunch of disruptions for sure, and they sped him up a million times. But I was just like, I thought that was a little weird for a team that, I wonder, like, I wasn't paying that close attention, just how vanilla they were in some of their blitzes and stunts, and just kind of looking
maybe
at
it's
that.
The defense that they're hiding.
Yeah.
Some of that schematic.
Not trying to show
too much
of the sauce ahead of Penn State.
I also sometimes think sack is a misleading.
Oh, it is. I firmly believe. I just thought it was a little bit interesting when I looked at it, because Betcher was incredible. Betcher was everywhere. Also, did you catch him in the post game?
Mm-mm.
He dropped a little brother.
Oh, did he?
He dropped a little brother.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. And I was like, ooh, spicy. That's a spicy meatball.
It is kind of wild with all the transfers. It's their like first year and only year they're going to play in the Civil War that they got up for it. At least they said the right things to the media.
Yeah. Fun.
Anything I took from this? No. I think this team is ready for Penn State. Now, how they'll look, I got no idea.
I have no idea. It is a matchup of two top six teams in the country, and I have no idea.
We'll preview this game all throughout the week. You know, we'll have Tyson Alger on Wednesday. Swag's working on some
Efforting some Penn State folks.
Yep, Swag is working on some big guests for Dirt and Sprague and for us, so that'll be fun if we can nail those down. But yeah, I mean, if going into this game, if there's one of the team you feel better about, I feel better about the Ducks, just because Penn State hasn't played anybody, but they just look sluggish.
Neither is Oregon.
But Oregon has had moments where it's like, this thing is humming. This thing is clicking.
Yeah.
The offense is moving the football, whether it's the run game, the passing game, and I haven't seen any of that from Penn State.
That's fair.
So, I mean, I guess if there's anything I've learned is that this team's ready. How they'll play, I have no idea. But I think mentally, physically, they're ready.
There's a lot of shrugging.
You got out healthy. Everyone's healthy. You're going into Penn State, unless you have any hiccups in practice. In theory, at full force. And that's all you wanted.
I mean, Penn State, played Nevada 46-11, FIU 34-0, Villanova 52-6.
Yeah, but did you watch any of that? Like, Drew Aller does not look great.
Well, I mean,
I know.
You know where I sit on the Drew Aller fights.
I know, but for the number two team in the nation, I don't know.
We'll see.
Well, now number three.
Number three. Miami.
When we come back, speaking of three, that's how many losses is going down. Someone check in. You want to fire Dabo now? Maybe it's your time. We'll do that next. But first, there's Schultzy with sports. A couple thoughts coming in on the fan text line about the Civil War. I work at a bar in Portland, was wearing a Ducks top. It was sad to see the amount of people who asked what the score of the game was, Ducks and Beavers alike. Asks the question, when has that ever happened before? Like, that's tough. That's true. I hear you on that. Mm-hmm. Also, another thought made me think the problem isn't talent, it's coaching. From an Oregon State perspective, 100% agree. 100% agree.
Oh, no, it's both.
Yeah, I mean, it's both, but, like, there's obviously a gap. And for those of you texting in telling me to eat crow on my apple cup, yeah, I'm aware. I know. I'm fully aware.
We'll get to it. Don't worry.
I'm fully aware of what went down. You know, we crapped our pants and we were wearing shorts, okay? Like, I'm fully aware of what happened.
It's running down his leg.
And we can see it. But, yeah, that's true. I mean, there's a talent gap, but there's a talent gap just based on, you know, where your programs are. But if you can get those guys up for a quarter and look as good as they did and then completely S the bed, look, I see it. Look, Wazoo failed epically in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. But we got out-athleted. We hung in the game. We were there as best we could.
I tell you what,
and then eventually your quarterback throws a pick six and then fumbles and they score off that and the game's over.
There are some sideways fourth quarters this weekend.
Very much so.
That Utah-Texas Tech game, which we may or may not get to today, that fourth quarter. Eey.
And that's kind of, that's when you want to see your team fall apart, is in the fourth quarter. When the game, when you've been grinding and grinding and you are now gassed.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between Jimmy's and Joe's.
Hey, you that's the one quarter Clemson won against Syracuse. Fourth quarter.
Boy, if I don't know what his buyout is.
It's got to be astro.
I'm sure it's huge,
freaking
dude,
but nominal.
But I think it might be time to just do it. Like, you guys might just need to separate. You know, you had great times. You'll always have two natties. Been to two more. I think it might just be time to call it a day. Can I guess?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Danny just looked up the buyout for Dabo Swinney. 1-3 Dabo Swinney. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. It's a top 10 buyout.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
It might be top 5.
55. Up 70. Okay, because DeBoer is 70.
60.
60, wow. 60. No, they won't.
And all of it due within 90 days.
Oh, damn.
It's not a payout over years. It's due 90 days.
Oh, damn.
Okay. So you gotta write a $60 million check.
So wow. I want to be the person that writes that check.
Mm.
Just, I want to know what that feels like.
Right.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm writing a $60 million check. But also, I can't believe I'm able to write a $60 million
right.
check. But I think it might be time to just call it a day.
I think this is finally 1 year, and this is the fork in the road. This could either be the beginning of the end, or it could be Dabo going,
okay, I got to deal with this.
I got to deal with this a different way. Like, that's, because here's the thing. We can talk about transport and all that. Cade Klubnik sucks.
He does. He threw the ball 60 times
in
that game.
And he barely completed 50% of his passes. He sucks.
And well, that he doesn't suck.
Well, I mean,
he is overhyped.
Right. I shouldn't say so, because I hate doing that. I make a cause to not do that.
Also, DJ Lagway exists.
Yes. Good gravy. He does not suck. He is very bad at
very,
football.
Very bad at football.
But Cade Klubnik also very bad at football. The other part about this that is really interesting is that defense, I think that defense has gone on strike.
Hmm.
They're like,
they got talent everywhere.
Well, they've been good.
Mm-hmm.
They've been good, and then they're just they're like
the LSU game. They were good.
Yeah,
they were really good in that game. They could have won that game based on how their defense played.
I think they literally just kind of like said, okay, screw it. We're like, you can't score. You're not putting together. This is what Clemson has scored in their games: 10, 27, 21, 21. and that's against LSU, whose defense is very real.
Very real.
Troy, who's not. Georgia Tech, who's good. And Syracuse.
Who's not good.
At some point in time, your offense has got to put a drive together to get your defense off the field, flip the field, and not put them up against it over and over and over and over again.
There is no rhythm. There's no rhythm. There's no momentum. Nothing gets going to the point where they actually look the semblance of a team that's practiced.
Okay, here's my counterpoint to what we argued about last week.
What's their identity on offense?
With Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Remember, I was like, you can't sit there and have that be the first question out of the box.
And I think it can be.
But this is what it looks like when you don't.
Yep.
When you don't have any. That's why I said it should not be the first question, because your defense is legit. Clemson's defense is very good, but they've thrown their hands up. Their offense is not good.
Yeah, it's almost it's like a civil war internally. Like, it's kind of like, why do I need to bust my ass if you are garbage?
Yeah, like. And to, you know.
You're talking culture issues, and that lands on Dabo, and Dabo's never had those issues.
Point to another team in Orange, Florida. That defense, that Florida defense is
good.
Vicious.
It's very, very good.
That offense is a mirror reflection of that defense. If you're talking the level of good that defense is, that's the level of bad Florida's offense is. It is. And I
think to Billy Napier's credit, the defense is still balling out. Right.
But I wonder how much longer that's going to hold on.
Well, yeah, probably not much longer, because how much longer does Lagway have? Or not Lagway, how much longer does Napier have before his?
To be honest, how much longer does Lagway have?
I think they would take a. I think Lagway's got a bigger leash than Billy Napier does.
Who's getting paid more per year right now?
Napier, not
by
much.
A little bit.
But I think to our point, what I was getting at is Florida's defense is continuing to show up and continuing to do stuff. Look,
as I said, Clemson's defense is going on strike.
Florida's defense against LSU held them to 13 points. Florida's minus defense the against, pick six.
Florida's defense against everyone.
Minus the pick six, Florida held LSU to 13 points. Now, I think LSU's offense has issues itself. It's not as glaring as Clemson's, but I think they have issues themselves on offense at LSU. But that defense hasn't quit. If you're telling me the defense of Clemson has quit because their offense can't figure it out, that's a Dabo problem.
I mean, it feels like it.
That's a Dabo problem. And when
everybody
loves to hate Dabo. He's a red ass. You know, he rides the religious train too hard to a point where it seems fake. And he's this good old boy from the South and wants college football to be back in my day. So he's very easy to hate. But one thing Dabo's never done poorly is culture. He's always had that ship running. And if he's losing it, that is now it's time to go.
It's time to sound
the alarm. So I know the buyout's 60 mil. Maybe you can talk to Dabo and you can bring that down to 30 and you mutually leave. Dabo won't because it's pride. But that is why I'm saying it might be time to start thinking if this relationship needs to end.
Mm.
I mean, Dabo will go get hired instantly.
Yeah.
And he can have his pick of jobs.
There's not a job in the country that
I would go to have. Oregon State if I were him.
Just transfer coasts in Orange.
He just wants to be next to his buddy. Hi, Dan.
Oh, God. Dan and Dabo.
Dan and Dabo in the same state. Let's go.
God.
You got a war chest? Send that war chest for Dabo Swinney. But I'm talking myself into it. I'm talking myself into that it might be time for Dabo to be gone.
You can't. It's too much money.
I understand. But whether it happens or doesn't happen, look, Mike Gundy should have been fired weeks ago.
Yeah.
Trent Bray should have been fired weeks ago. Yeah. Hell, Belichick should get fired right now, too. Should it happen and will it happen are two very, very different things. But I'm talking to myself into that maybe it should happen.
Here's the thing with Dabo. This is the first time it's happened.
That is true.
So
how does he maneuver?
You have earned at least 2 years.
People keep talking like, oh, is this going to be like Florida State and they finish the year with one or two wins? No, that is not Dabo.
But look at Florida State now, though.
Right. And Mike Norvell is a good coach. He ain't Dabo, though.
No. And that's why Dabo's going to get more leash than that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to.
And he deserves it.
I don't think they're going to fire him. I just wonder if this relationship has run its course.
You get 2 years for every national title you win, so he gets 4 more years.
Oh, I think he gets as long as he wants.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, before you can, he has to have like 3 years of dumb to fire him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anybody 3 years of dumb gets fired.
But I'm saying, like, I'm talking like bad.
Yeah.
If he's winning eight or nine games, you can't fire him.
Caleb DeBoer lost 4 games last year and they wanted him gone.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's because they're dumb.
Because they're dumb. Look at you taking shots.
I mean, Alabama, hey, you want to go back to pre-Nick Saban? You want to go back to that?
Speaking of dumb, things were real dumb until, you know, I don't know, bench quarterback, put in somebody new and bring life. Game of the week? Not the game of the week. No, we'll go to Utah next. 105.1 The Fan. All right, we're going to call a little audible here. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll get to Texas Tech and what happens when you dig through the depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
Another quarterback in the NFL was benched. Probably for mental health purposes. So we're a lot to get to in the 11 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll have web gems like we do every day at 11:45. But breaking news here, and that is Bruce Pearl, the head coach of Auburn basketball, is expected to retire.
One of the best coaches in college basketball history.
What'd you say his record was? 706 and 2-something?
238, I think is what it was.
That's wild,
dude. He's basically got like a near 70% winning percentage.
Was in the national championship last year.
Got to what, the Final Four with a Jabari Smith Jr., Walker Kessler team?
Correct.
Like, he's really,
he's a really, really good coach.
Really good.
I don't understand this. If Bruce Pearl were to retire in April... May?
Not a month before the season. Well, his son, Stephen Pearl, is going to take over.
Which I know nothing about. I'm a college hoop guy, and I don't know anything about his kid.
He's an assistant on his staff. You would imagine the pedigree. Certainly there's some, nepotism there, for sure.
For sure.
But also a month out, what else are you going to do? And we're looking at this one like, why?
I don't get it.
There was a report 2 weeks ago from CBS. He did an article... did a sit down with Jewish Insider because he's Jewish.
Yeah.
And he said, this is the report was 2 weeks ago. And he said back then, recently as a week ago, he was considering running for Senate. Mm-hmm. Why? Because in the state of Alabama, Tommy Tuberville is going to vacate that seat and run for governor of that state. Bruce Pearl is doing this because what is happening right now?
Yeah, I understand. I understand that. Like, totally. If you want to run for office, I get that. It's just a weird time. It's just a weird time to do it.
Well, no, it's
a month before the season.
It's the right time to do it for the political side of it.
I guess, not
the right time. And that's the thing is like, it was basically, if you're going to do this, you need to do this now. If not, you're not going to get it. Because he is 65 years old.
On the YouTube chat, they're asked, do we need a full year of Bruce retirement tour? Hell yeah, we do. I love Bruce Pearl.
Oh, yeah, you kidding?
As a college basketball fan, I mean, he's sleazy. He's as sleazy as they come in college basketball.
Look, the only one who wasn't was Jay Wright.
I mean, I'm sure there was still a little sleaze.
But I mean, like, as far as like the best coaches in college basketball.
He seemed the most clean.
Coach K was.
Oh, for
Patino,
sure.
Patino is.
the entire institution of North Carolina is dirty.
Yes. I mean.
Fake glasses.
Like Dean Smith. Yuck. No. John Wooden was the inventor of the Bagman.
Yeah, exactly.
Like everybody talks about, you think Bill Walton, Kareem, all these guys just ended up there? Like, are you out of your mind? No, like that's why they were so good is because like that's what they were. And I don't say that like as a negative to any of those guys. That's the world they lived in. I mean, Bruce Pearl had to leave Tennessee because they were like, you gotta go, dog.
Yeah, you gotta go. Things were not adding up.
And you need
there.
To sit out a year or two, by the way.
He's great on TV.
Oh
too.
God, Bruce Pearl on NCAA tournament coverage
is great.
Just took it to my veins because he like Seth Greenberg tries to be what Bruce Pearl is, like the what I say goes kind of deal.
Yeah.
Except for Greenberg does not have the cachet of Bruce Pearl up there. When he says it, he'll say it with his chest, and you're like, yeah, it's worked for you, dog. Like yeah, we get it. I totally understand. But this is. I mean, we are a month and a half away from Midnight Madness.
Yeah, that's why I don't get it.
Like, this is nuts.
This is crazy. I'm going to miss him because I love college basketball and I love Bruce Pearl.
You ready to cast your vote? You going to move to Alabama and cast your vote for Bruce Pearl for Senate?
No, dude, because I guarantee you Bruce Pearl is about to break my heart and be pro a bunch of stuff I'm absolutely against. Like, anytime I hear about an athlete... Or a coach or somebody involved in sports running for election. I'm like, oh my God, you definitely support everything I hate, don't you? How many of them come out and I'm like, you know what? That guy's woke AF. You can love Patrick Mahomes all you want, but have you met his wife? Yep. Have you met his brother? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I know where he stands on a lot of stuff.
No. Don't conflate those two things. He's a different. He's
Steph
different...
Curry. I'm pretty sure Steph Curry and I agree on a lot of things. Won't run for office.
Oh, you might be surprised. Oh, I'm going to break your heart right now.
No, don't do it. I don't want to hear it.
Go ahead and point you to Mr. NIMBY.
I don't want to hear this.
You can point you to Mr. NIMBY. For those who don't know what NIMBY is, not in my backyard.
Yeah.
There's some housing things he's been
wonderful.
Wrapped up in.
Don't meet your heroes, folks.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
R.I.P. Bruce Pearl in my brain. R.I.P. Bruce Pearl. Yeah, you want a 10 toes down? Bruce Pearl is for a bunch of stuff I'm against.
What if he came out just the most woke?
That'd be awesome. You'd just be like, I would love that. I would move to Alabama. I'd move to Alabama.
Yeah, because those politics would definitely fly in Alabama. That's a winning ticket in Alabama.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say if he's quitting Auburn basketball to run for election, he's got a good shot at it.
a Senate seat that is held by Tommy Tuberville?
He's probably got a good shot at it. Speaking of guys that are for a bunch of stuff I'm against, hello, Tommy Tuberville. Hello. I didn't like you as a coach. Yeah. Now I really don't like you.
There you go.
R.I.P. Bruce Pearl.
But yeah, this is...
Not dead. It's wild. It's the only thing that makes sense. Yeah. Otherwise, you don't quit a month before the season. Unless the NCAA is about to drop a hammer.
That was my first thought when I saw it. I'm like, is Bruce Pearl under investigation?
But I don't know how you drop a hammer anymore these days when you can pay kids.
Well, not just that, but I'm like, he wouldn't hand it to his kid to
clean up a mess.
To fall on the sword.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that was like the immediate, like, oh, and then you do a quick little research and, oh yeah, here's this article about him running to run for office. And it's like, ah, there it is. Mm. There it is.
Who takes the Auburn job?
I mean, his kid for now. His kid's got an opportunity. I mean,
his kid's going to suck, guaranteed.
I mean, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. I mean, you know, the Drew family has done very good.
The Bennett family has done very good.
So look, nepotism is a thing. Noah Eagle.
Very much a thing.
Noah Eagle.
Very good.
Noah Eagle might be Ian Eagle's son. He's also really, 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 really good at his job.
Really, really good.
Like, nepotism can open some doors for you. Yeah. Absolutely. But
more often than not, it's Bronny James Jr.
Yeah.
More often than not. Yeah. All right, we come back. We'll dive back into some football. We'll go into this tech story that I want to get into. That game was garbage until Coach made a tough choice, and sometimes those tough choices are how you win games. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hang out with us. We're having fun at 105.1 The Fan Sports Network.